Let's see if Putin lets us talk to Joseph Lindsley today. Joe, are you there?
I think so. Well, I'm here, but I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yep.
I am having some microphone technical difficulty today. It's a new problem every day this week, which is bizarre. And, you know, Bob, as I heard the advertisement you just had for ketamine, and that's a word you hear pretty often here. You know, the PTSD toll is very heavy for not just soldiers, but for everyone in the society. And today, November 1st, in Ukrainian language, the word for November is listopad, which means leaves, the month of falling leaves, literally. And today is also All Saints Day, tomorrow All Souls Day. The day is to remember sort of union of living and the dead. And, you know, here I am in Kyiv, in the capital. And I realize that in Lviv, a day like today is a major holiday. You would hear church bells ringing throughout the entire city. You can hear the chants sort of being broadcast into the cobbled squares of Lviv city. That's something you don't see in Kyiv or Kharkiv or Odessa. And I realize really the reason for that, why, you know, such religious holidays like today are celebrated very sort of abundantly in Lviv, but not in much of the rest of Ukraine. That's because of the Soviet times. You know, Lviv was not under Soviet oppression for as long as the rest of Ukraine. It was part of Poland and Austro-Hungarian Empire. And in Lviv, they held on to their traditions. But in so much of the rest of Ukraine, the Soviets really did a lot to destroy religion and culture. And so I didn't think of it till today, but I never hear church bells in Kyiv. There are churches. It's not as much as part of the culture as it is in Lviv, and that's really, you can feel that mark of that the trauma of Soviet times in so many ways, and that's just one indication of it. And you know, it's Sovietism that is exactly what Ukrainians have been trying to get away from since 1991, when, by the way, George H.W. Bush urged them to stick with Moscow and not to be independent. You know, they keep trying to pull away from that legacy of totalitarianism, of destruction of culture, and now they're of course facing that every single day. And I would say that the mood, you know, people keep going, but the mood is dark and heavy. And there hasn't been a major sort of nationwide missile attack in a while, so there's a lot of people assuming that something's coming. With every time you hear the next air raid alarm, you think, okay, maybe this could be something big. But there, I'd say there's a heavy mood of depression. Really, it's you encounter it, you know, everywhere I go. And I think, you know, there's this, like, all good people kind of feel a sense of guilt. So even the soldier at the front line in the trenches might feel guilty because he's alive and his friend is dead. Or a soldier who loses his leg feels guilty because he's out of the war and there's a young woman who's a medic who's still in the fight. Or maybe the doctor at the military hospital feels guilty as he's treating guys who've lost legs, because he's never faced bullets himself. Or even to the level of, like, someone who lives in Odessa feels guilty because they don't face bombs as often as people in Kharkiv. Or people who work at a coffee shop in Kharkiv that has been bombed feel guilty because they don't work at a coffee shop in Kupiansk that gets bombed more often. And this is, you know, so every, you know, everyone sort of feels like they could be doing more. And that serves as an impetus to try to do more. But it does create this sense of, there's a strange solidarity in everyone feeling a bit of guilt that, you know, that there's more that can be done in the victory effort. And even knowing that, you know, someone who is, you know, there in the trenches feels that they are not doing enough, even compared to someone, say, sitting in a cafe in Uzhgorod, you know, on the border with Hungary. You know, everyone has different levels of saying, hey, we need to do more, especially among, you know, the non-elites, right? The regular people who get up and go to work every day and don't try to run away from the war. And it's, you know, I just saw there's an air alarm at this moment in this for the city of Kharkiv, where, you know, 30 miles from Russia, where I spent so much time. And, you know, I thought it might be good, interesting to share what, you know, a little bit of what it's like. But so often this is the sequence. This is what I saw, for example, a couple of nights ago. You check your Telegram app to see what happens when there's an air alarm. You know, are missiles coming your way? And so, for example, a couple nights ago, and it's in the Russian language because most people still speak Russian there, and the alarm sounds, and it says, the text message says, target spotted, Then usually with some expletives, which I can't say on the radio, but, you know, fill in the blank, have been launched. And then several minutes later, in the direction of the city, missiles in the direction of the city to shelter. And then maybe 3 minutes later, a very chilling message that says center, which means the center of the city is now the target. There's no time to add any other words, simply center. And then even more chilling is when you see this word Raketa in all caps, which means there's a rocket coming and you got about 3 seconds. Really chilling to see that, that word Raketa in all caps. And then, as sadly as often the case, as it was a few days ago in Kharkiv, the word she, which means again, and then she, which means again, and which means that more and more rockets are hitting the city. And then at last, those words saying horizon chesto, the horizon is clean, but stay in the shelter because the threat is still there. And that's just sort of, you know, these are the sort of daily messages that people in the city like Kharkiv are receiving on their telephones.
Sorry to hear about the difficult and darker mood there. And you can't possibly know what it's like to be there, but your description comes close to allowing us to share that experience, Joseph. Let me leave you with something a little brighter. Your alma mater, Notre Dame, has climbed up to number 8 in the Big Ten football poll. They have a bye this week. I know you have more important things to do than keep track of good old Notre Dame, but after a big win when they beat Navy, things are looking good for them. It's a bye week, by the way, this weekend for them.
Yeah, well, it's good. Please only give me good updates on this topic, Bob, and I will say that that Notre Dame victory march, you know, onward to victory, that, you know, from my time going to school there, that echoes here throughout the war. And that's the victory I care about the most. But it's always good to get positive news where we can. And by the way, those Ukrainian soldier musicians, the Cultural Forces, they're currently in Austin, Texas, and they're connecting with VFWs and synagogues. You know, I have a lot of elite friends in Austin, IT people, business and politics, who talk about defending freedom all the time, and they're not interested in Ukraine. But the good thing is that these soldier musicians, including a few who lost limbs in battle, are connecting with the hardworking people there in Texas as they travel, as they continue their 2-month tour of the U.S.
Upward and onward to them, to you and the people of Ukraine, and go Irish. Thanks, Joseph.
Go Irish. Thanks, Bob.